From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Royteam.
Hey, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Thanks, y'all, for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula, before we get into agree to disagree.
I'm probably in the doghouse with my husband if he heard that last segment. But yes, go ahead.
Wait, I just want to know. I mean, you're not all the way in the doghouse. You're kind of halfway in the doghouse because you told half the story.
Yeah, so when my husband knew that he wanted me to be in his life and I knew that I wanted to be in his life forever, before we did our engagement step, he got me what you would call a promise ring. And it was really pretty, but it was what I would call a trinket. And after
every
that night,
show.
After that night, I wore it that night, and then I realized, no, I probably won't wear it. And I told him I loved the sentiment. And it sounds horrible, but look, we've been married for so many years, right? So it still worked. So I was just trying to show sympathy for that woman who wrote in, who was upset about that first ring.
I am
not materialistic, which is going to sound really funny after I just explained that. But
so Ursula, after you got the ring, where did the ring live after that night?
Back in its original box.
And where did the box live?
Well, it went back to the store.
Oh, it went back to the store the next day?
Well, not right away. You guys, you're just dragging this out. I am going to start asking questions about you. So what did you propose with on any of the marriages?
The first one proposed on the T-Man show.
Stop. Wait, what? That sounds like a recipe for success. Wait, when was this?
Let's see. Year 2000?
On another radio show. Was it on a dare?
No, it was on the impulse. I mean, are you shocked? You're not shocked.
Was she even listening?
And what kind of ring did you get?
Oh, it was terrible.
See?
That thing. Like,
where did that live, and for how long? Hey, Mark, these questions are for you.
All right. We should probably get to agree to disagree.
We should.
All right. Okay. You just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Sometimes I just got to save you guys from yourselves. Ursula, you cannot help yourself. It's every single show.
Hey.
No one's prompting you. You just share. I love it.
Hey, but how do you keep it real? You share your experiences, right? These people
Absolutely.
Are giving us their scenarios, and I have something to share.
Absolutely.
Gosh, I love you.
All right. So speaking of sharing about our experiences, Merriam-Webster has chosen the word of the year. And for 2020, that is pandemic. So Ursula, in your experience, what is your word of the year?
It's actually two words, but social distancing. Before this year, I'd never even heard of it. And when we first started hearing that phrase, I was like, what is that? Social distancing. And now it's a thing. I mean, I'd heard of pandemic before. Obviously, that's what we're dealing with right now, but it wasn't a new word or a new phrase. But social distancing, that's just not anything I'd ever heard of. And the other one, which is much more negative, is COVIDiots.
Oh!
That didn't exist before this year.
I refuse to recognize that
word. You know what? I gotta start doing a better job. I should just know better. Like when we ask these type of questions, I know that Ursula's going to come with something like, oh, yeah, it's a good one, well thought out. Mine is just damn. That's my word all year. As a matter of fact, my words, I'm not someone who swears. I'm not a person that swears a lot. That's just not my thing. I'm not like Chef. Chef swears like a sailor.
He does.
Me, on the other hand, I don't. And in 2000, yes, you do. In 2020, I have been saying swear words, and I'm really disappointed in myself. So when you ask, like, what's the one word that you've said, that's the nicer one, that word right there. Usually, this the other F word, I've been saying that way too much in 2020. So But again, I should have known better that Ursula would make some sense on the show, and I would be the one that would be, but sorry.
You know what else is going to be a phrase, though? I've been 2020'd. I think the year 2020 is going to be used as an adjective, a verb. Mm. This is so 2020.
Hey, Ursula, at home, at any of you with your get-togethers or anything, have you said, let me keep it a buck yet?
No, but I'm going to work on it.
Gee, you this was a leftover question from yesterday, and you had a whole day to come up with a word, and you come up with a four-letter one. Let me supply you with what I think is your answer. And the word of the year is revealing. We learned a lot about our country. We learned a lot about our values.
Yes.
We learned a lot about our own individual breaking points, about what we believe and what is important. I think that 2020 has drawn things into relief, the problems in our society, and also the good things that we can all hold on to. So, gee, what do you think about that for your word of the year?
Revealing. Yes.
Revealing.
Yeah.
I hear ambivalence.
That's a good one.
But it can't be his word because you came up with it. So I say ding, ding, ding.
Okay. So, speaking of 2020, Amazon has been on an absolute tear when it comes to hiring new workers. They have added 427,000 workers over the last 10 months. That's basically hiring the entire population of either Minneapolis or Oakland. Gee, you ever hear that saying, if you can't beat them, join them? You mm-hmm. think that's true?
No, and I've never liked that, and I've always been the opposite of that, and it bothers me when people do that. People always want to go, like, to join the, quote, winning team, or like, and by the way, it happens in Little League Baseball, and the reason why I'm bringing it up, because I remember it happened with me, with Little League Baseball. It's like, hey, you want to go be a part of this team? Because this team, you know, they've been winning and stuff like that. I know you parents that are listening right now, you've probably done it too. Anyways, and I'm like, no, I want to go be a part. I don't want to go be part of the winning team. I want to go be part of the team that is that's not, quote, the winning team. And you know what? It feels good to go be a part of that team because then you end up going to beat the, quote, winning team. So, no, I don't like that saying, Chef.
I'm calling baloney on that one. You and I are so competitive, G, that I know you want to be part of the winning team. That's not how life works. Of course you want to be part of the winning team. You're not going to voluntarily be part of a team that you know has no chance of winning. I mean, I'm sure that's not what you've taught your boys. Baby G did not join Ohio State thinking that it's going to be a losing team. Okay, so and on Amazon, on this idea of Amazon, do you know that this year they have had their biggest ever, was it Black Friday, Cyber Monday? I mean, every single record keeps getting broken during 2020 and during this pandemic. Their Cyber Monday saw a 60% increase for online sellers from last year. So they're also trying to point out that, hey, it's not just Amazon, but some of these smaller businesses are, these smaller online sellers are also benefiting. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have, if I were without a job, I would not have a problem working for Amazon. If they're hiring, if I'm hearing right now and I'm without work, I would maybe bite my tongue and try to get a job at Amazon because they're hiring.
How's Amazon doing with that hazard pay? Amazon and Walmart, how they doing?
I think they're probably receiving pressure right now to bring it back. And they should bring it back.
So check this out. Receiving pressure?
Yeah.
Like, my thing is this, guys.
You shouldn't get the pressure.
What is the point of being the richest company in the world or maybe the richest country in the world if the whole idea is for rich people to continue to stay rich? Like, this would be, you know what would be a great idea? It would be a great idea, like, just in case if we were going through a real pandemic, would be a real good time to be the giver. Because, like, you know, you got all that money, it would be a good time to be giving, right? Considering that we have restaurants that are going to be closing down, restaurants, businesses that will never make it back again, people losing their jobs. I got an idea. What's that idea, G? Oh, I got an idea. Rich companies giving back to people that are struggling.
Are we sure that they're not?
Have we reported on that yet? Have we reported on Amazon coming to the state of Washington and saying, hey, state of Washington, since the restaurants can't open back up until December 14th, here's some money.
Or how about this? With that big tax break that I'm getting, how about I donate it back?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that tax break. No, no, but the tax break, remember, we do that because it rolls downhill, everybody.
All right. Gee, feisty on that one. Well, you know, maybe the only reason to be on a losing team is so you can manufacture a chip on your shoulder. And let me see if I can manufacture a chip on your shoulder right now. So for all of you in the audience that don't believe college athletes can cash in on their fame, you are wrong. There is one group that's allowed to, and that is cheerleaders. Cheerleaders often amass large social media followings, and they can monetize that by selling autographs, they can appear in commercials, and they can even use their cheer uniforms to promote products, because the NCAA does not regulate them the same way they do other sports. Ursula, should cheerleaders be treated the same as other athletes?
Are they getting scholarships? Yes, right?
Do you know?
No. Yeah. If they're getting scholarships, I say that they should be treated the same as college athletes, because then it's about, I'm thinking, though, that they maybe don't. If they don't, then I say that they should be allowed, you know, whatever it is they're doing on their off time. So they should be treated differently because they aren't considered, even though I personally think cheerleading is a sport. I think it is athletics. Cheerleading today is not what you think. It's not just, you know, shaking the pom-poms. It is very athletic. So I think it is a sport.
It's definitely.
But they have different, also, they have different opportunities after college than many of these football players do.
It's definitely a sport. But let me, you know what, since we're talking about NCAA, let's talk about the NCAA. How it is absolutely worthless. They do nothing but want to take from kids. When it's time for a global pandemic, do they have a plan? No, they don't. They have no plan. The plan goes to the conferences and the schools, the universities, not the NCAA. So you might say, well, gee, what is the job of the NCAA? The same as the job of a pimp. The pimp goes out. Yes, I am not backing up with my words. The NCAA, the institution, does nothing but collect money, while the decisions that are made for college sports are put on the conferences and the universities. There is no reason for the NCAA. They have no plan during the pandemic, though all the plans are done with the schools and the conferences. So again, let me ask, what is the job of the NCAA? They don't have the job. They just collect money. That is their only job. So the question was simple. Should athletes be able to get paid? I don't know. Should an athlete be able to house sit for somebody if they leave away and be able to collect money? Yes. But no, the NCAA says, no, Johnny, you can't house sit and make money. If you do that, you have to do it for free. But the person that's going to school on a business loan, they can write a business plan for a business and they can collect money. Sorry.
Okay, so let me just make sure I follow this. So the cheerleaders should be able to capitalize on their cheerleading, is what you're saying. So nothing should change for them.
No, and everybody should. Like, can you imagine living in the United States and telling a certain portion of the population that you are not allowed to make money? As a matter of fact, here's what's interesting. I saw some pro players, and they were on TV, some NFL players. They were like, this is so tough now. I'm away from my family and everything. Oh, how about being a student athlete and being away from your family and being isolated away from your family and not making money?
Except...
So, years ago,
I'm still in that minority, though.
Thing called a Flowbee.
Sorry.
Which, when we
you
were
did
kid,
not.
When I was a kid, yeah.
The infomercial, the Flowbee.
This ingenious device lets you give yourself and family perfect haircuts every time.
Yes. It comes with a vacuum cleaner and the clippers? Yeah, I still have it.
Stop it. You don't use it.
My haircuts take literally 2 minutes. I go,
is this Flowbee?
Yeah, it's Flowbee.
That is awesome.
Yeah, listen, man, it works.
Sorry, I had to give G the mic drop on that one and move on to George Clooney, who revealed to CBS this morning that he's been cutting his own hair for 25 years with the Flowbee. I mean, celebrities, they're just like us. G, would you want to be famous, like George Clooney level famous?
Yes. Yes. So I can use my status and being famous to collect money and give to people that have less than. Yes, I would love to be famous. Sign me up.
See, I think George Clooney is one of those actors that does good with his money.
I believe it.
And he stays really humble. His wife is doing amazing things. She's an attorney. She's really pushing for human rights in many third world countries. And she's an advocate for women. And so I think he is someone who uses his celebrity for good. But let's go back to that Flowbee thing. George Clooney is one of the few people who could have a bowl haircut and still look good. He can rock. I mean, I love the idea that he still does the Flowbee cut. I mean, that just kind of makes him, they're just like us.
Exactly. I got to disagree with you on that one, because I think, like, I don't care if you can have a private retreat in Monaco or wherever. If you still can't go out in public without people mobbing you, that's far too great of a price to pay. But I want to ask you one last question on this real quick. Do you guys ever notice how much George Clooney sounds like John Curley?
Yes. It comes with a vacuum cleaner and the Clippers? Yeah, I still have it.
Yeah.
Do you think that sounds like John Curley?
But the thing is George Clooney is nicer than John Curley.
Oh,
I don't know. Listen to this comparison.
It comes with a vacuum cleaner and the Clippers? Yeah, I still have it.
And that's what I inhale every day when I come in to do the show. Ursula Roitzen's hair.
Oh, okay. So again, Ursula, go ahead. You were saying when I said that, would you say? Ursula, would you say?
John Curley, he's got that tough little exterior, but he actually has a kind heart. He just doesn't show it all the time. I'm going with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. I like to let you guys just hang out on the uncomfortable ones for a second. Obviously, visits with Santa are not going to be the same this year. Most mall Santas will require reservations. And the kids, of course, won't be sitting in Santa's lap. Gee, is this one of those things that we're just not going to change back once the pandemic's over? Are we going to look back and say, what were we thinking having our kids sit in some stranger's lap?
Please, let's be done with this. Please, let's be done with this. And here's why we're not going to go back, Ursula and Chef. We're not going to go back because if there's one thing we realize, we work all year long and we get to the month of December and we sacrifice all of the money that we're trying to put together so we can give our kids a good Christmas. And that kid sits on Santa's lap and says, Santa, can you please bring me them gifts? Hey, from now on, you know what? No, Santa's not getting the credit. Okay, go ahead.
No, I think that was people are still trying to do Santa pictures even during COVID, and they're doing it with their social distancing and the masks, and Santa is able to adjust. But it is one of the things that brings joy to so many families. Yes, you always have that picture of the kid crying, and then you can torture him later on in life. But it's something that brings joy to most parents and to most kids. So why get rid of it? And, you know, if it's weird or you're telling or you're forced, don't force your kid to do it. But if they enjoy it, why not?
A lot of kids don't want to.
Okay, then don't have them do it. If the kids don't want to, don't do it.
The Instagram. Instagram. You have to.
Ursula, go ahead and say it. Do it for the gram.
Do it for the gram. Keep it a buck.
Hey, coming up next, someone sent the G and Ursula show a really nice message, and we're going to share it with you along with the poem. We'll talk about that next. This is G and Ursula.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula show today. This hour of our show is brought to you by your local Carrier heating and air conditioning dealers. So after yesterday's show, G, we got an email from a listener named Mike in Auburn, and Chef shared it with us. And there are some letters that truly stop me in my tracks. And this one was actually written to you, but when I read it, I couldn't stop tearing up. and I thought it would be really cool to share with our listeners. And Mike, thank you. I hope this is okay. We're not going to use your last name to protect you, but he shared that this letter was for you, G. And he said, as the Thanksgiving weekend is all but over on this Sunday evening, I have thought a lot about you, and I just want to say to you that I am thankful that you are on Cairo with Ursula. He says, I thoroughly enjoy hearing your perspective. And then he went on to talk about how some you have some things in common, even though that he is older than you. But his son also played D2 college sports. And that was something that he really relates to you when you share your stories about your kids. And then he says, but G, most importantly, I want to thank you for the small part that you've played in my own long journey with regard to race. He says, I'm a 69-year-old white guy raised by well-intentioned but nevertheless racist parents who have long since passed away, and I've struggled with what I learned from them and the issues that I observed as a kid growing up in the 1960s and continuing all the way through the summer this year of 2020. And he says, it's been an amazing journey filled with realizations along the way that were stunning in helping me to understand that I have so much to learn about race as well as much to give. And so he said, hearing your perspective, G, on the radio has been inspiring. And he wanted to share a poem that he wrote in June of this year. So I'm guessing this was after George Floyd's death and all the protests that erupted after that. And he says, it's a poem that's a little bit about my journey. And in my head, he can also hear it to music. And he just wanted to let you know that you've inspired him. So we're going to add some music right now. And I'm going to share this poem, which he calls Brothers. It says, I looked into his eyes, I saw a tear. I knew it was a cry for new understanding. The great philosophers of the Enlightenment, if alive today, should no doubt repent. They sent, not with purposeful bad intent, ideas in motion that would represent a sinful notion of injustice. John Locke and Immanuel Kant, they thought, they taught, so did many others. Really? Can you believe this? That the black man was beneath them? Yeah, all those educated dudes and all their platitudes, they thought they were right. How can intelligence be so barren of insight? And even if they were weak and full of fright, they just might see how ignorant that could be. But it continued on decades and centuries. Slavery, bravery, resistance, subsistence. How could 3/5 of a man really be God's plan? The narrative of the lost cause was nothing but lies. The people of that cause were horribly lost lives. No humanity, sympathy, empathy, no eyes to see, only ignorance and hatred. No love in sight. They were all messed up, could never know what was right. He looked into his eyes. He saw a tear. He knew it was a cry for new understanding. He said, quote, I want to walk in your shoes. I said, how can you walk in my shoes? He said, please trust me. I want to try. There's nothing high and mighty about that. I cry, too, for what you've been through. I know I will never know. You know I can't possibly know what it means when you hear the word no. I said, sure, that's fine. If you want to be my brother, it will take time. Time to see, time to breathe, time to feel, time to heal. And they looked into each other's eyes. They both saw a tear. They knew it was a cry for more understanding. Yeah, try to walk in my shoes. Yeah, I'll try to walk in your shoes. And friend, yes, let us hope that we both won't need that, because we will know that my shoes are your shoes, that the road we walk will finally be the same road, and that you and me, we will take those steps together. Okay, I'm like getting all teary right now, but that was beautiful. And then he thought of you. And is, you know, so anyway, I just wanted to share that. Thank you, Mike. That's the thing that I love most about this show.
It really is. And when I read the message yesterday and you guys sent it, and then just hearing you read it again today. First, I'm grateful for Mike for sending that message and sharing that. He didn't have to. But the next thing that I automatically think of are the many lessons that my dad gave me over the years. And the one thing that I said as we were, I think, when was it? A couple weeks ago. It was after the election. and I talked about and I admitted that I had to be less angry, me, because I have been. And I remember even after yesterday, after that letter, I remember calling you yesterday.
I was at Rite Aid.
You were at Rite Aid, and I was so happy when I called you. And I was just calling you to say that I thought yesterday was our best show that we've ever done. And you said, well, it was a fun show. I don't know about the best show. And I felt then it was maybe for me the best show we had ever done, because it was the first time that I really, really realized the purpose of why we do this show. Are we right all the time? Absolutely not. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely, for sure. But if there's one thing that you're going to get when you listen to the show, is you're going to get a hope for a better tomorrow. And that's what we strive for. No matter who you support or who you voted for or where you fall at on being conservative or liberal or whatever the case might be, you just want a better tomorrow. And if there's one thing that we could all agree with, we just want better. And if better is possible, good is never enough. And so that's it. And so I hear that, and it just gives me so much hope for that. And for a 69-year-old white man to say that to me, if my father were to hear that, he would say, job well done, son. So yeah. I'm grateful for that letter.
Well, I'm grateful for you, G, and I'm also very thankful for Mike. Thank you for writing that. It's beautiful. Okay, still ahead. I got to wipe away these tears. Still ahead. We hear you. And, of course, our words to live by. You are listening to The G and Ursula Show.
It's the G and Ursula Show. It is now time for your texts and then Ursula's words to live by. Ursula, you want to start us off?
Sure, absolutely. Scenarios. We got a lot of feedback on that one. This was about the woman who said her fiance gave her a crappy old ring that belonged to his grandma for their engagement. 661 says, I proposed to my wife with a picture of a ring on my phone 12 years ago, and I'm still going, and we're still going strong.
253, Ursula, I propose with a trinket at the age of 17. We will be looking at 30 years married next July.
Congratulations. And you know what? I just celebrated my 27th, so it can happen. 425 says, you know what you should be proud of when you get engaged? Your fiance. Showing off and oohing and aahing over engagement rings is disgusting. You know what you're saying when you do that? Ooh, look how much money your fiance makes. In reality, it usually means look how much crippling debt your future partner is willing to saddle your burgeoning relationship with.
So let's get rid of engagement rings in the first place, right? Mm.
There you go.
Men's friendships during the pandemic. 360. 40-year-old male here. What deep friendships? Laugh out loud.
See, that's what I thought would come of this. 253 says, actual men don't have group chats.
Yeah, whoever that is tripping. What do you hate that everyone seems to love? 206 says, I will never understand why people like coffee. I have never had a cup in my life. That's disrespectful.
360 says, I'll never understand posed and perfect superficial selfies that scream out, I'm perfect and beautiful, look at me, and tell me I'm awesome. It's vain, desperate, and needy.
253 says, Chef, you need to quit buying your cigars from 7-Eleven and your scotch from the bottom shelf.
What's wrong with being a bottom shelf kind of guy? What's wrong with that?
You can usually find some gems down there. G, cannot understand people who don't wear underwear. 425 says, I'd love to be able to wear underwear, but they never stay where they're supposed to. And after years of underwear creeping and getting uncomfortably stuck and the embarrassment of trying to correct that, I finally said, why bother?
G, as much as I disagree with most things you talk about, panty lines are a huge deal, especially when they are crawling up places they don't belong. Nothing like everyone knowing what kind of underwear you are wearing or not wearing.
425 says, PSA for all the ladies out there, a lot of you are wearing leggings that become see-through in sunlight as soon as the fabric gets stretched out, like when you bend over. Cheap leggings and old leggings seem to be especially prone to this. You might want to give yourselves a mirror check in that old pair of leggings.
Definitely seen that. Oh, no, sweetie.
Now, Ursula, real quick, HR check.
HR.
In the case of a workplace and you see something like that, what should you do?
You know that I'm going to tell somebody and try to do it because I've had to do that. I've shared that on the air. And what you should not be doing is leering, looking around the corner, giggling, and knowing that that is happening because that's not cool.
G says, open the restaurants. 206 says, I am a bartender at a restaurant, and I agree with Ursula. Well, that's not a shocker. Even though I am broke and need money, my restaurant has been asking for contact info, but most do not. Most aren't even following the rules, and right now we have a lot of rules. The ones like us that follow the rules are penalized anyway because people go elsewhere to places that let them do what they want. Plus, every day there still are people that won't wear masks. Still, every day. Yesterday, I had to kick out 3 old dudes that refused to wear a mask when they came in to use the restroom.
Okay, so if you can't beat them, join them. Dave in Gig Harbor says, so G thinks Amazon isn't doing enough by hiring 400,000 people during the pandemic? Get real.
No. 425, my husband and I run a small silk screen shirt place, and we have been doing so many Amazon orders, it's ridiculous. So, I love it.
Okay, and finally, swearing. 253 says, oh, come on, chef. A month or so ago, John Curley called you out on their show as the person who swears the most in the entire radio station.
They're not wrong.
That's
chef
right.
Swears a lot. Ursula, words to live by.
Just a reminder, it's not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. Have a good day.
Good stuff, Ursula. Great show.
Thank you. It was fun.
Chef.
Bless his heart, but this promise ring had a gem on it that was not a real gem.
This is risky. And here's why it's risky.
It was a true trinket.
Andrew.
I don't know why everybody loves emojis, not emoticons. I love emoticons, just not those pictures.
Good stuff, Andrew. Hey, it's been a great show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. We do this again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We appreciate all of you guys for listening. Love you for that. Be good.